Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Well, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Dr. Atolabe, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, dear brother. How's the day going?
Well, so I'm glad that it's a Friday. The Sabbath is almost here. It's been a fantastic day. How has been yours?
It's been good, too. Very, very fulfilling. Work done. Almost time to enter into the hours of the Sabbath. Yes, it's been good.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Well, today we're going to be talking about ADHD, attention deficiency or deficit hyperactivity disorder, which is one of the most common neurodevelopmental disorders of childhood. It is usually first diagnosed in childhood and is often lasting into adulthood. And so you're going to be sharing more about the types, causes, and symptoms together with the diagnosis and treatment of ADHD. So we did touch on this last week, Doc, but just a brief moment as we were passing through it. But today we want to just delve a little bit deeper into it. Please do outline what ADHD actually is and how common it is.
Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Usually what happens is that parents, teachers, or guardians begin to think that this child can misbehave, will not listen to them, is disobedient, will do many things, just we can call it deviant. And that is when parents begin to know something is wrong. What can I do with this child that is just obedient? I had a friend that told me she got the attention that she needed and knew something was wrong when her 7-year-old boy took a plastic container, put water, and was ready to put it on the fire. He's been doing things that he will climb the sofa, pull down the frames, break the mirror, just run up and down and do somersault or slip over and so forth. And he will laugh and say, "Mommy, look at me." And he'll be doing things that will make her mother run to go and grab him and bring him down. So for some, it gets to that point when they just realize that this child is just behaving out of whack, if we can say it in that way. So this is what parents will notice. But then there are things that physicians will have to take into consideration. They have to ask questions, and the age of the child will be taken into consideration. In fact, some do some CT scan, neuroimaging, looking at the brain cells, and all those type of tests and diagnosis to be really sure that there's something wrong with the child and not just that parents are just not happy with a happy child. So it takes all of that and requires that one should take all this into consideration to help the child.
Yeah, it's hectic. It's hectic. But is it a very common phenomenon?
It's getting more and more common. Sad to say, many of our children, the teachers are complaining. More and more, we are having these problems. As a parent and natural health caregiver, I have many people who have reported to me this problem with their children. So I don't have statistics as to how many in our culture, in our environment here, but other countries that are really looking at statistics is getting more and more, and they are reporting up to 20% of children in a classroom or in a school having the problem, to the extent that some are recommending sending children to special schools for ADHD children. So indeed, it's a common phenomenon.
Yeah, quite interesting. You know, if you sometimes listen to comedy, you would hear some African comedians joking that in Africa we don't have that because our parents will beat it out of us. So how much of that hyperactivity is just down to lack of discipline?
A lot, because looking at the causes and the mechanisms that natural healthcare givers are using, a lot of it have been found to lack of discipline. There are several factors that have been identified that will result in attention deficit disorder. For instance, high sugar intake, that's lifestyle problem. Parents that begin to give their children sugar too soon, or put them in front of the television to keep them quiet so that they can do their own work or concentrate on their activities. Babies who are no more babies that are still taking a lot of animal milk. These are factors that have become very prevalent and have been identified that when it is changed, you begin to see changes in these children.
Now, in terms of, boys and girls, I tend to notice that more so boys would have the challenge of ADHD than girls. Of course, there's no evidence on my side on that. But is it perhaps a correct observation?
I don't think so. I have not seen statistics to indicate that there are more boys involved. That is assumed because generally boys are more active than girls generally at that age period. But today the pattern is getting different. There isn't really differences between, he's a boy, he's got to be a rascal, and a girl. In fact, you have many tomboy girls now that are really tomboys and behaving just as rascal as any other person, including of their own sex or they being boys. But generally, I know that parents tend to allow their boys to play rough, to run out, to play football than girls. For instance, I was raised with my brothers riding tricycle and bicycle, but I was not trained to ride bicycle and tricycle. That's not for girls. So the boys are given more macho activities to take part in compared to girls. But I didn't do that with my children. I taught all my children how to ride tricycle and to ride bicycle. So more and more we are seeing parents having girls involved in the things that boys are involved with in terms of exposure to activities and not restricting some activities to girls and some to boys. So we are having all of these deviant behaviors both among boys and girls. There isn't a significant difference from my understanding and knowledge in literature of boys being worse than girls when it comes to this attention deficit disorder.
Now, if a parent has gone to doctors and the issue is not subsiding or getting any better, what's the recourse, really?
Well, for natural healthcare practitioners, generally what has been done that has been effective is to focus on lifestyle. Mm-hmm. One is the dietary lifestyle of the parent and the child. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned sugar.
Yes, yes.
That has been found to be number one culprit. Sugar is a stimulant. It stimulates the adrenals, that is the adrenal glands that will release adrenaline, which are hormones of anger, hormones of run, and what we call the flight response. And so sugar will do that. Sugar is a very highly how do I call it? Immune depressants. So you see, when little children are not feeling well, they also misbehave. They are not able to really express all that they are going through. So they misbehave, they cry unnecessarily, they fret, and all the rest. So in lifestyle medicine, one of the areas in which a lot of attention has been paid is in the diet of these children, especially this age that we started to look at, early childhood, that children be not started on these sweet, soft drinks, all these pasteurized milk and all the, I mean, animal milk, of course, and all of the sugar, ice cream loaded with sugar and milk and all the rest. And when they take this off, first of all, they begin to see differences in the behavior. I have read the work of Margaret Stith. She was a juror in the United States of America. And she found that most of the deviant children that come to her court, if their diets are changed, then significant improvements in their addictive behaviors, because sugar is also prone to addiction. It will open the way for other addictions. Their activities, their deviant behavior are taken care of to a large extent. And they have taken this to the prison too. They have taken this to special schools for deviant children, and they have divided into two. They have done such research, and they have shown that those who have what they call the recidivism, that is, those who leave such facilities, deviant school or prison, those who are put on a vegetarian diet with no high sugar content, but rather natural sugar of honey, of fruits, and so forth, they don't usually come back. They do not recede in coming back to the institution. But those who are fed just anything, the soda, the animal products, the high sugar, ice cream, and all the rest, they usually come back. And so such research that has been done has shown that the diet is very, very significant. All these highly refined foods are causes. They are the primary causes of these behavior problems because they affect the brain. I was reading the work of Dr. Greger. He focused on, in this book he called How Not to Die. And there was an emphasis on what is called arachidonic acid. And it is high in eggs. And many of the processed foods that is eaten by these young ones are high in eggs. Well, they say you need this so that you can grow strong bones and have calcium. But what about the other side of these food products? So I have focused a lot on the diet because the diet has indeed been a source of problem that is contributing significantly with all the evidences to this behavior problem because it affects the brain of these children.
Well, I didn't hear you last week, so just want to confirm that as we are, you know, wrapping up the conversation, that you know, parents don't need to throw their hands in the air and say, "Well, I've given up." You did mention that it's possibly reversible.
It is reversible. I have seen children, even youth, who, in fact, right now we are praying for a young man who got addicted on this cocaine and is right now in rehabilitation. And we are looking forward to positive result. So it is reversible. And there is hope that once the diet is corrected, very key, once the TV plug is removed and the phone is taken away, for the next 3 to 6 months, we are able to help such a child go back to normal society, find work possibly in a quiet environment away from the city, and allow some few more years to really recover and settle into a more quiet life with no TV, no cell phone games, no games at all being played, video games, I mean, and getting involved in physical activity, using their hands, like in carpentry work, learning how to play a musical instrument, and they recover. They recover very well. So one should not give up. One must do and pursue places where these young people can still be rehabilitated.
Beautiful. Well, Dr. Atolabe, thank you so much for joining us once again this afternoon. I think that because it's getting more prevalent, but I think parents should really pay attention to this, because I do know that some others would say, ah, it's just a child, man. They're going to grow up and, you know, it's going to just come to an end. And you're saying, no, it's not going to be a miracle. We've got to work on making sure that the diet, we're strict on diet, and with the diet and all the other things that can be done, it can definitely be reversible.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Atolagbe. Thank you, and have a beautiful Sabbath.
And I wish you the same.
Thank you.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.